Welcome to episode 127 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for June the 2nd, 2009. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In this week's episode of the Fredcast, the 2009 Giro d'Italia concludes in dramatic fashion in front of the Colosseum in Rome. Traffic citations for cyclists in Vancouver during Bike Month, Victoria Pendleton gets racy again, and bike hire users get more than they bargained for at the kiosk. Following the news, product reviews of a new water bottle from Camelback, new products from the folks who brought you Cliff Bar, Action Wipe single packs, a hub-actuated tire pump, and 1,000 third graders get new bikes. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. This week's episode of the Fredcast is brought to you once again by our friend Graham Street over at Cyclo Club, and here's Graham to tell you about a special offer just for you.
Hey, Fredcast listeners and fellow everyday cyclists, this is Graham Street, owner for CycloClub.com, and I got a special announcement for you today, so I want you to pay close attention. Would you like to get faster, 1 to 2 miles per hour faster in the next 7 days? Would you like to find out a way to do it in a quick, succinct way, with less work than you're doing right now on the bike? Would you like to find out secrets, techniques, and workouts you can use every ride to improve your speed for your favorite group rides, centuries, events, races? Most everyday cyclists want to get faster, but very few know how to do it. What most everyday cyclists do is they go out and they try to ride harder more often. And if you've done that age-old, antiquated, traditional tactic, you know it doesn't really work very well. There's a reason for it, and I want to teach you why. I want to show you how to get 1 to 2 miles per hour faster in the next 7 days. It can be done, my friend, regardless of why you ride. Ready to get faster? Here's what I want you to do. Go to thefredcast.com right now. There's a big ad at the top, a banner ad to get faster in 7 days. I'm going to give you all the techniques, all the workouts, all the secrets, everything you need to ride 1 to 2 miles per hour faster in 7 days for $10.95. I only have a limited amount of these modules available. Get over to the Fredcast right now. 1 to 2 miles per hour faster in 7 days. I'll see you over at the club.
Remember, that's www.thefredcast.com, and you will see the ad on every page telling you how you can get faster in 7 days. It's just $10.95. I mean, look, folks, skip 2 lattes this week, and you're going to get 1 to 2 miles faster in the same period of time. Go check it out. Once again, we thank Graham and Cycle Club for their support. Topping the news this week is a tragic story from the UK. Now, you may recall several months ago when some prominent Northern California cyclists were killed in a tragic accident involving a law enforcement vehicle. Well, it's happened again, and this time in East London. News reports indicate that 16-year-old Khalil Rehman was struck and killed by a police patrol car that was responding to a 999 call, but which was not using its sirens. Now, for those of you in the U.S., a 999 call in the U.K. is similar to 911 calls here in the States. According to police spokesperson, the officer that was driving the car has been suspended pending the results of their ongoing investigation. And a spokesman for the Independent Police Complaints Commission said, quote, the IPCC is carrying out an initial assessment of the circumstances to determine whether we need to be involved in further investigations. Amir Khan, who was the cousin of the boy who was killed, Khalil, was riding a bike immediately behind Khalil, and he told reporters, quote, I never heard no police car coming, never heard no sirens. Only time I saw the police car was when it hit him. If he was going to an emergency, and at the speed he was going, he should have used a siren. Now, as if that weren't enough, a man in his 40s was knocked off his bike by another police patrol car the very next day in the same area. In that case, however, and thankfully, while the man did wind up in the hospital in serious condition, he is expected to make a full recovery. Once again, the police car was responding to an emergency, but it wasn't using its siren. And once again, the IPCC is investigating. So if you're riding your bike in East London, please use caution. Perhaps consider even a mirror on your helmet so you know what's coming up behind you. And I want to thank one of our listeners for bringing us this tragic story. Moving on to professional cycling, for those of you who are professional cycling fans, you just might be suffering, like I am, from Giro d'Italia withdrawals. Now, symptoms include firing up your web browser early in the morning and being a bit disappointed to find that UniversalSports.com is showing something other than a multicolored Peloton making its way through the streets and mountains of Italy, while a commentator who sounds strangely like Father Guido Sarducci from Saturday Night Live gives you all the details of the goings-on from start to finish. Well, the reason, of course, for your withdrawals is, of course, that the 100th anniversary of the Giro d'Italia, one of cycling's three great grand tours, ended on Sunday in what I consider to be very dramatic fashion. Now, it ended with a 14.4-kilometer individual time trial through the historic streets of Rome, past Vatican City, and finally to a finish in front of the Colosseum in Rome. And it was a rainy day, and the rain seeming to hamper some of the racers in their attempt to try to win this year's individual time trial. Now, going into Sunday's ITT, Russia's Denis Menshov of Team Rabobank was ahead of Team LPR's Danilo De Luca by 20 seconds. Now, prior to the stage, De Luca all but conceded the race to Menshov, congratulating him in the press publicly, congratulating him on his performance, and congratulating him for winning the race. But by the time De Luca and then Menshov hit the cobblestones of Rome, well, it seemed like either De Luca's mind had changed or perhaps his pre-race comments were just intended to lull Menshov into a sense of complacency. Now, De Luca hit the course riding a conventional road bike instead of the traditional individual time trial bike, and a lot of people thought that that was a mistake. I saw a lot of people talking about that on Twitter as the race progressed, but it seemed, at least in the beginning, that that was not a mistake because he left the start house like a man determined to try to create a Le Mans Fignon-type moment on the streets of Italy instead of on the Champs-Élysées. And at the first time check, De Luca had a blazingly fast time, and it really looked like he might have chosen the right bike, and he might actually have the legs to beat Menshov, make up the 20 seconds, and perhaps steal victory away from him in the final 20 minutes of an 86-hour race. But by the time De Luca crossed the finish line, it was clear that that burst of energy at the beginning of the stage had faded away, and in the latter kilometers, Menshov was going to be the winner after all. But then, after De Luca crossed the finish line, with just one racer out on the course, Denis Menshov, disaster struck. In the final 600 meters of the stage, Menshov went down on the rain-slick cobbles and skidded, well, for what seemed like an eternity. I think all cycling fans who were watching gasped and held their breath to see what was going to happen. Interestingly, and I urge you to go back and look at the video, because when you look at the replay, you can see how much Menshov wanted this win. The determination and the desire that he had as he literally scrambled and crawled and clawed his way back to his bike, even while he was sliding at high speed across the street. You've got to see the video because it's something to see. Simply the sheer determination of Menshov to get back up and win the race. When he finally stopped sliding, he grabbed his bike and he tried to ride away, but, and this is where I think the Giro d'Italia was won that day, a really quick-thinking mechanic on the Rabobank team, sitting in the passenger seat of their team car directly behind Menshov, got out of the car, had the bike off the roof of the car before Menshov could get back on what was probably his damaged original bike, had it up and under Menshov and pushed him off in literally seconds. They would put an IndyCar team to shame. It was that fast. Pretty soon he was back up on his bike and racing toward what would be eventual victory in the 2009 Giro d'Italia. It was extremely exciting. At the end of the day, however, the stage victory went to, and trust me folks, I'm going to butcher this name, Ignatis Konovalovas of the Cervelo test team. He won it in 18 minutes, 42 seconds. Menshov eventually coming in 10th place on the stage and winning the Giro d'Italia overall by 41 seconds. Over second place, Danilo De Luca from Team LPR. Menshov winning in 86 hours, 3:11. Third place going to Franco Pellizotti from Team Liquigas, 1:59 behind Menshov. Fourth, Carlos Sastre from Spain and the Cervelo Test Team, 3:46 back. Fifth, to Italy's Ivan Basso from Team Liquigas, 3:59 back. The United States' big hope for a win this year, sixth place going to Levi Leipheimer from Team Astana, 5:28 behind Denis Menshov. In seventh, 8:43 back from the Acqua e Sapone squad, Stefano Garzelli of Italy. Eighth place, Michael Rogers from Australia and Team Colombia, 10:01 behind Menshov. 11:13 back in ninth place, Tadej Valjevic from Slovenia and AG2R. 10th place going to Marzio Brusagan from Italy and the Lampre team, 11:28 back. And in 12th place, you got to give it to the guy, Lance Armstrong from Astana, 15:59 back of Denis Menshov. A very respectable finish in the Giro d'Italia. Danilo De Luca did win the points classification, the mountains classification going to Stefano Garzelli, and for the teams, Team Astana won that award in the 2009 Giro d'Italia. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the final stage of this year's Giro went to Ignatis Konovalovas of the Cervelo Test Team. If you watched any of Universal Sports online coverage, chances are you saw an ad for a series of videos called Beyond the Peloton. Now, I downloaded four of the videos to my iPhone and watched them on a flight earlier today. I found the videos interesting, exciting, poignant, touching, and yeah, even adrenaline-inducing, even as I was sitting there in my exit row seat, you know, being squished on the airplane. Two of the videos were shot during this year's Amgen Tour of California, and I was privileged to witness the race firsthand, oftentimes from really unique vantage points, like the day on stage one when I was honored to ride with the professionals of the Mavic Neutral Technical Support Team. We were there to assist when Carlos Sastre went down on the descent into Santa Rosa, and the Beyond the Peloton videos gave me an opportunity to see that accident from the team and from Carlos's perspective. Trust me when I tell you that if you've never watched a professional cycling race in person, this is about as close as it gets. And you get this behind-the-scenes footage that you will never see unless you're actually part of a professional team. Now, on a personal note, I think I've made it pretty clear that I'm a huge fan of Team CSC, now Team Saxo Bank. You remember that CSC actually used to ride Cervelo bikes. But having watched these videos, and trust me when I say when I saw the commercials online, I was a bit skeptical that it was just going to be a huge commercial for Cervelo. But having watched the videos, I can definitely say that I really feel kind of a connection to the guys in the Cervelo Test Squad now, because I've got a new insight into what their life is like, what the life of that professional team is like. And even while I'm out rooting for Jens and the brother Schleck and the rest of the squad this year during the Tour de France, I'm still going to be holding out some hope for Sastre, Husovd, and the rest of the Cervelo Test Team simply because of these Beyond the Peloton videos. Now, there's one that I still haven't seen. It's about Milan-San Remo. I'll be downloading that and checking it out. The filmmakers have done a fantastic job. I highly recommend that you check it out. If you have the opportunity to watch it on your computer, you can also watch it in HD. And even on my iPhone screen, the cinematography I thought was really fantastic. So go ahead and check it out. It's called Beyond the Peloton. You can find the videos at bartape.net. And there are links in the show notes and in the enhanced version of the podcast. And finally, as a footnote to the end of this year's Giro d'Italia, on the final day of the race, it was announced that next year's Giro is going to begin not in Italy, but in Holland. The 2010 edition of the Giro is slated to begin in Amsterdam on May 8th, 2010, with stages the following days in Utrecht, Middelburg, and perhaps areas of Belgium. Now, the full route will be formally announced at the end of 2009, but I gotta be honest, I'm considering the possibility of maybe doing a Fredcast tour to the start of next year's Giro in Holland, including perhaps the opportunity to ride the stages and watch the pros finish. If I can get this worked out, I'll let you know as soon as I can so that hopefully you can join me. So stay tuned. And with the end of the Giro and several other races, it's time, well, for the first time in a while, to look once again at the current world rankings. As far as individual racers, Denis Menshov is sitting atop the rankings with 218 points, with 205 points Alan Davis from Team Quickstep is in second. In third, Heinrich Hausler from Germany in the Cervelo Test Team, 197 points. In fourth, Davide Rebellin from Italy and the Ceramenti PVC Dicqui Giovanni, and I'm not going to try to say the rest, team with 194 points. And in fifth place, Alejandro Valverde from Spain and Castaparno with 188 points. As far as the team, Cervelo Test is sitting in first with 608 points, with 571 in second place, it's Castaparno, and in third, Team Quickstep with 558 points. As far as the countries are concerned, Italy is sitting atop the rankings with 847 points, Spain is in second with 823, and Australia in third with 612 points. Now, for those of you who think that really the cyclists are going to be taking the next month off getting ready for the Tour de France, well, you've got another think coming, because there are two large and important bike races coming up. The first starting this weekend, June the 7th through the 14th. It's the Dauphiné Libéré. This takes place in the Dauphiné region of France, and it's including some very famous climbs that you have heard of, climbs like the Col du Galibier and Mont Ventoux. It's going to be an exciting race. Alberto Contador is going to be there racing for Astana. And as a matter of fact, the Dauphiné is a traditional preparatory race for a lot of the racers as they get ready for the Tour de France. So it should be an exciting event. And then the following week, it's the Tour de Suisse, June 13th through the 21st. Again, some of the most important teams in professional cycling will be there. We will bring you those results as we get them. Now, May 31st not only signaled the final day of the 2009 Giro d'Italia, it was also the deadline set by the UCI for Team Astana to get its financial house in order. You'll recall that the Kazakhstan-based professional cycling team that includes Lance Armstrong, Levi Leipheimer, Alberto Contador, and plenty of other talent has been having difficulties meeting its financial obligations, including failing to pay the riders for quite some time. And the UCI said that unless it could make certain guarantees that the team ran the risk of losing its UCI Pro Tour license, thereby thrusting into doubt Lance Armstrong and indeed Alberto Contador's attempts to each win another Tour de France in July. In a statement published by the team, Johan Bruneel was quoted as saying, quote, "The financial woes that left salaries unpaid are not completely resolved yet. I hope that the team sponsors will meet the deadline for the bank guarantee and the payments. Moreover, the UCI now wants more guarantees about the team for the rest of the year." Now, Bruneel went on to say that Astana would meet the UCI's requirements by the deadline, and so far, neither side has issued any statements to the contrary. In the meantime, rumors are circulating that Lance Armstrong might make a significant investment in the team in order to save it from the chance of missing upcoming races, including July's Tour de France. Now, meanwhile, Lance is back in Austin preparing for the birth of his fourth child with girlfriend Anna Hansen. This will be Hansen and Armstrong's first child together. And of course, what was the first thing that Lance did when he was done with the Giro? Well, he Twittered saying that he was on his way back home and getting ready to prepare for baby number four. Congratulations to them. I hope that everything works out great and that mom and baby are doing great once the delivery is over. And finally, speaking of Twittering, those of you who follow Robbie McEwen on Twitter know that last Friday, he indicated in his Twitter feed that he had surgery on his leg, the one that he broke at the second stage of this year's Tour of Belgium, and that as a result of that surgery, he probably will not be back on his bike until September. So for those of you who are looking for Robbie McEwen to be contesting those sprints with Tor Husovt and Mark Cavendish et al., at this year's Tour de France, unfortunately, you're going to have to wait until next year because Robbie McEwen is sidelined due to that injury he suffered in this year's Tour of Belgium. Now, for those of you who live in Vancouver, Canada, you may know that June is Bike Month, whereas here in the United States, it was May. Up there in Vancouver, it is in June, and that's great news. However, it also means that police in Vancouver are looking to teach you a little bit about the rules of the road and your responsibilities as another vehicle on the roadway. As a matter of fact, they're handing out information tickets to cyclists to let them know about the variety of different responsibilities and possible offenses that they could commit when out there on the road. According to Lindsay Hofton of the Vancouver Police Department, quote, a lot of cyclists, and usually it's the casual cyclist, may not realize they're subject to specific requirements under the Motor Vehicles Act legislation. By conducting this information campaign, we want to educate cyclists rather than punish them. We want to see people on bikes obeying the rules of the road. Apparently, between January 1st, 2008 and May 1st, 2008, the Vancouver PD issued more than 3,700 traffic violation tickets at about $29 each to cyclists without helmets. So what are some of the offenses that you could be charged with based on some of these information tickets? Well, again, riding without a helmet, $29. Riding your bike on the sidewalk, $109. Riding two abreast on a roadway, $109. All of the following are $109. Riding while not astride a seat, carrying passengers on your bike, riding while attached to a vehicle, we talked about that last week, riding without hands on your handlebar, $109 for that. That seems a little stiff, if you ask me. Riding without due care and attention, and riding without reasonable consideration. Now, according to Arno Shortinquis, president of the Vancouver Area Cycling Coalition, he said many cyclists are upset about the campaign, saying, quote, it's discriminatory. You would never see a police officer pulling over a car to hand out the rules of the road to a driver. Yes, cyclists are breaking the law if they don't follow the rules of the road, but it's not the cyclists that are going to kill or injure the driver of a car. We want cyclist drivers and pedestrians to be very well educated and get where they're going as safely as possible. So for those of you who are in Vancouver, watch out for the police. They may be looking out for you. Well, it's not every day that you see a member of the Order of the British Empire or a national champion, a world champion, or even an Olympic champion bearing all for the photographers. But Victoria Pendleton, famed international cycling champion, is doing it yet again. Victoria Pendleton has appeared in a number of racy ads and photo shoots, and now she appears on the cover of the men's magazine FHM this month. I haven't seen the magazine, but it's causing a lot of stir. But apparently, Victoria is not appearing without clothing in this, as she did recently on the cover of the Observer's Sports Monthly in advance of last year's Beijing Olympics. That photo by Lance was taken by famed celebrity photographer Annie Leibovitz, and I will put links in the show notes for both men and women, so you can take a look at the FHM and the Lance Armstrong Annie Leibovitz photo. And I suppose gutter sinking seems to be a bit of a trend here in the bicycle world in the last week, because you know how we've been talking about all of these bike hire schemes around the world? Well, there's one in the city of Zamora, Spain. And there, a hacker got a hold of the computerized kiosk that's used to dole out bikes to users. And, well, they had it displaying an adult movie. A lot of people laughed when they went by, but a policewoman came by and alerted folks, and then, according to one eyewitness, she couldn't stop her laughter as she alerted the police station via radio. Finally, a couple of police came by and covered the screen until finally they were able to bring in the company and have them fix the computer terminal. A city official was quoted as saying that the security for the computerized kiosk was, quote, fragile. And I think that that is a delicate way of saying that the security stinks. And with all that racing and racy news, that's going to do it for the news section of this episode of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Earlier today, I was getting ready to board a flight, and I was talking to one of my colleagues, and he was telling me about this book that he was reading. It's called Outliers, The Story of Success by Malcolm Gladwell. This book is simply an exploration of, again, what Gladwell calls outliers, the best and the brightest, the most famous and the most successful in every society. He asks the question, what makes high achievers different? What is it? Is it their culture, their family, their generation? Is it their origin of their family? What is it that makes software billionaires. What is it that makes a great cyclist or a great soccer player? And for anyone who's interested in success, there are insights in this book. The problem is, I work, I podcast, I ride, I've got a family. I simply don't have the time to sit down and read. So what do I do? Well, I go to Audible, and that's what you should do too. And once again, Audible is back as a sponsor of the Fredcast. Audible is the place where you can find more than 60,000 audiobooks and more that you can put on your iPod and over 500 other devices. By the way, if you travel like I do and you've got a GPS that you take with you, a lot of them will allow you to put your Audible books right into the GPS, and while you're driving down the road, it will play on your GPS. Extremely cool feature. Well, now for Fredcast listeners, Audible is offering you a free 14-day free trial of the Audible Listener Gold Program. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling. And please, when I give you these special links, use them because it will keep Audible and Cyclo Club and others coming back and supporting the Fredcast. So if you support them, they'll continue to support the Fredcast, and it's a great circle. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling. You'll be able to get a free audiobook of your choice, and Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell is a great choice. You'll also get to choose from 60,000 audiobooks and more, and you will get to keep that audiobook whether you continue with your membership of Audible after your 14-day free trial or not. So go ahead and check it out. It's audiblepodcast.com/cycling, and we thank Audible for their support of the Fredcast. I also want to remind you about our Chasseur d'École, your chance to ride with us in September in the French Alps. We're going to be doing some of the most famous climbs in the Tour de France and indeed in the Dauphiné Libéré as well. My favorite, the Col du Galibier, but we'll also be doing the Col du Madeleine. We'll be doing the Col du Télégraphe, the Col de Forclaz. We'll be doing, of course, the Alpe d'Huez and its famous switchbacks. This is going to be a great trip. It takes place September 5th through the 12th. Simply go to thefredcast.com. There's a travel link at the top of the page. Click there. Join us September 5th through the 12th in the Alps. Sign up now, and we will enjoy riding together in September in what will prove to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I can't wait to ride with you.
Hey, David, this is Matt calling from Northern California. Just listened to your latest episode. Great job, as always. I just wanted to say thank you to Curtis for doing such an awesome report of the Davis Double. I live about 50 miles or so from Davis. I've never done the Davis Double. I haven't done a double at all. But someday would like to try, and of course, the only one that I would ever consider cutting my teeth was the Davis Double, but that was an awesome report. It was great to hear voices from some of the other riders and volunteers. It was very well done, Curtis. And David, thanks for bringing that to us. And then also, David, just wanted to say that after you played the clip from the spokesman with Bob Roll, I'm going to concede, and I'm going to start calling it the Tour de France. Even though I feel a little silly saying it, I'm gonna practice a little bit before July. I guess the mystique of calling it the Tour de France is gone a little bit. But anyway, thanks for bringing another show. See ya.
Hey, Matt, thank you. Always great to hear from you. Matt and his family do a great podcast called Pizza Go Here. Go check that out. By the way, I got a lot of great emails and great feedback to Curtis's report on the Davis Double Century. It seems that you really enjoyed hearing from a fellow Fred as he went out there and did a very difficult event. So again, any of you who are interested in providing your ride reports, please do so. We would love to play them here on the show. And once again, Curtis, thank you again for your Davis Double Century report. It was extremely well done and extremely well received. One more quick reminder for you. You'll recall that last month we interviewed the gentleman who owns Spokes Bikes in the Chicagoland area because he was our inaugural bike shop of the month. We've got some great nominations for June. We'll be bringing that interview to you in the next couple of shows. But I want to remind you to please nominate your favorite bike shop for our Fredcast Bike Shop of the Month. Go ahead and send an email to us. You'll find a link in the show notes as well as in the Enhance podcast. Just mail to rex@thefredcast.com. Let Rex know why it is that your favorite shop should be the next Fredcast Bike Shop of the Month. You know, it's been a little while since I brought you a lot of product reviews, and so I've got a couple of quick hit product reviews for you for some new products that have been sent to me recently and things that I liked and thought that you might like as well. The first comes from Camelback. Now, we're all familiar with Camelback for their hydration packs, but Camelback also makes innovative water bottles that you can just put in your regular water bottle cages. Now, for a while now, I've been using their Podium bottle. And if you're not familiar with it, the Podium bottle has a very unique spout. Instead of one that you have to pull with your teeth and open, this one, simply by squeezing the bottle, will make sure that you get all the liquid you want, but it will not spill. It's a very, very unique cap. They call it a revolutionary self-sealing jet valve. They say that it flows easily and seals shut automatically. I've been testing one for a while and I found that that's exactly what it does. But as summer approaches, I tend to always pull out my insulated bottles instead of using my regular water bottles, including my former Podium bottle. Well, now Camelback has come out with the Podium Chill Jacket bottle. It's the same soft, lightweight plastic that allows you to get a good gulp of your favorite hydration drink when you're out on your ride, but now it's insulated, keeping your beverage cool for hours. It is, in my opinion, it's got better insulation than the insulated bottles I've used in the past. It's lightweight, it's easy to squeeze, which in the past has been a problem, in my opinion, with a lot of insulated bottles. I think you're really going to like it. Go ahead and check it out. They're available in three colors: clear with green accents, clear with black accents, clear with blue accents. They are 21 ounces of liquid, and the manufacturer's suggested retail price is $12. I've got a link in the show notes as well as in the Enhanced podcast. I like this bottle. It's probably going to be my primary water bottle as we approach the summer months. Go ahead and check it out. It's the Camelback Podium bottle with Chill Jacket. Next up, instead of being a product review, this is more of an update on a product that we talked about here on the Fredcast before. You know how much I like Action Wipes. We talked to my friend Martha Van Inwegen from Action Wipes on the show a few weeks ago. Well, now she's come out with single-use packs. They're very convenient. That means it's one 9-inch by 10-inch action wipe in a 3x5 pack, a lot like sort of the wet naps that you might get from your favorite fried chicken restaurant, but instead these, instead of being used for your finger-licking good fingers, or instead of being a baby wipe, these are action wipes that are made specifically for athletes like you and me, so that when you get to the end of the ride, if you've got to go to work and there's no shower and you need to get cleaned up real quick, you pull out one of these. It's in a convenient single-use pack, so that you're not going to worry that you're going to ruin other action wipes. You just pull one out, open it up, get cleaned off, and you're done. They're available in single packs for $1.25, or you can order 15 single packs for $16.85, or you can order 24 single packs for $24. And you can save 15% off your order if you use the promo code FREDCAST. And Martha's just doing that because she loves the Fredcast so much. So go ahead and check it out. Again, links are in the show notes and in the Enhanced podcast. It's a great update to what I already think is a great product. Speaking of products that I really love, I've been a fan of Clif Bars for a long time. I remember when Power Bars first came out, and they were really the only game in town, but I always found them really chewy and sticky and, quite frankly, kind of difficult to eat on the bike. When Clif Bars came around, or at least when I discovered them, I just thought that they were fantastic. Well, I got a package from Clif the other day, and there were gels and shot blocks, and some Clif Bars. And included in there were some new flavors of Clif Bars. So if you haven't heard already, let me be the first to tell you that you can now get Blueberry Crisp Clif Bars, Maple Nut Clif Bars, and by the way, those are both fantastic, but my new all-time favorite replacing carrot cake is now the White Chocolate Macadamia Nut Clif Bar. I'm not much of a dessert person. My wife and kids love Mrs. Fields, and quite honestly, I could take it or leave it, but when I see those white chocolate macadamia nut cookies, those are kind of a weakness for me. I've always had a thing for white chocolate, and the White Chocolate Macadamia Nut Clif Bars are, well, they're awesome. So I'm really glad they sent me those. I'm loving them. Go ahead and check those out. Of course, there's a link in the show notes. But the thing that really intrigued me the most in the package that I got from the folks at Clif Bar is a new sport drink, which will be coming out like any moment. And it's called Clif Quench Sport Drink. It's available in four flavors, including orange, limeade, strawberry citrus, and my favorite, fruit punch. Now, this is a liquid drink. It comes in 16-ounce bottles. And you know what? Before I tell you about the drink, let me tell you about the bottles first. They're 40% post-consumer recycled PET plastic with PET recyclable labels that have been put on the bottle, what looks to me to be a shrink wrap process because there's no adhesives involved. So this is a really earth-friendly product, something that I know a lot of you are very interested in, so I think that that's really great. But these drinks, really, these are Clif's reaction to all of those really sugary sports drinks or so-called sports drinks that are out there on the market, your Gatorades and Powerades and things like that, which when I go into, say, my local convenience store when I'm out on a long ride and I need to replenish, typically it's the only thing that I can find. I'm hoping that now I'm going to be able to find Clif Quench in some of these stores. These are 88% organic with all natural ingredients. There's no high fructose corn syrup, no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. Matter of fact, what's always surprising to me when I open a drink like this is when you open up the bottle and it says fruit punch on the label, but it's a clear liquid. That's the definite way to tell that there's no artificial colors in the drink. I drank a bottle the other night just before I got on my CompuTrainer for an hour and a half aerobic workout, and it had a great taste. It was very refreshing, and it didn't leave me with any kind of aftertaste. Matter of fact, I had my wife try it, and she said, you know, this would be great for our daughter who plays club volleyball for when she's done with a volleyball match. So I think that this is going to become a staple, at least in our household. Now, of course, when they send you products like this, they also send you their propaganda, and they say that a recent performance study at Stanford University found that Clif Quench is effective at keeping the body's temperature cool, delivering blood, oxygen, and water to the muscles, and preventing energy-draining sugar crushes. Now, I'm not a researcher. I don't know a whole lot about science. All I can tell you is I enjoyed the drink, and it's something that I'm going to be using often when I am out cycling. Once again, Clif Quench will be on the market sometime this month. That's June 2009. And according to the folks at Clif, there will be a suggested retail price of $1.49 per 16-ounce bottle. Go ahead and check it out. I really enjoyed this product, and I hope that it will be on all our grocers and convenience store shelves very, very soon. Now, last Saturday, I gave up part of my morning to go take a look at an event that was taking place in a local parking lot in Salt Lake City called Bikes for Kids Utah. Now, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show. This is an organization that gives away bikes, helmets, locks, and safety training to deserving third graders. I had the opportunity to go and check it out and talk to some of the people involved. Here are my interviews from that event. All I can say is I was walking around with a smile the rest of the day because the happiness and the gratitude that was just everywhere that day in that parking lot was very infectious. This is an amazing group of people that provide these bikes to these kids. I mean, just imagine, remember what it was like when you got your first bike? Imagine if, well, for whatever reason, your family just simply couldn't afford to get you that first bike. This Bikes for Kids Utah is providing that opportunity for those who can't provide it for their kids. And it was an amazing sight to behold. Now, here come the interviews, but I got to warn you, I was having, and I didn't know it at the time, some audio problems. So there is a bit of noise here, but please stick with it because I think you'll get a lot out of these interviews from Bikes for Kids Utah. And you can find more information on their website at bikesforkidsutah.com. It's a beautiful Utah day. And I'm standing in a parking lot instead of riding my bike because I'm watching something amazing happen here. I'm with Debbie Reed. She's the executive director of Bikes for Kids Utah. Debbie, tell me, why are there so many people here today?
Well, today is a great day for us because we have 1,000 children that have come with their parents to receive a brand new bike. They get a bike helmet. They have a T-shirt, nutrition information, bike safety rodeo. We have a bunch of Eagle Scout projects. The one we happen to be standing in front of is where the parents have an opportunity to bring their bike here and get the bike put together, because we in the past have always given them a box with their bike in it and they get to go home and put their bike together. Also this morning, we had a family ride, 5K little family ride. We had about 50 families, some kids on training wheels. It was so cute to see all these kids go out and do their own little supported bike ride. Started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then at 8:30 we sent out about 300 riders to do a charity bike ride. They are doing a 50K and a 100K, and we have some amazing rest stops. We have a Belgian waffle breakfast rest stop that's right behind us here by Utah Food Services, and my favorite stop is Lakai, and they're out there doing eclairs and tarts and stuff like that. Contender has a rest stop in Black Bottom Cyclewear.
So you're giving away 1,000 bikes. How does this all come about? Where do the bikes come from?
We do several different charity events throughout the year, this bike ride being one of them. We do a Utah BYU time trial. Have you heard about that?
It's the red versus blue.
Yes. Yeah. That is at the end of August this year, I think around the 29th. We do a dinner and silent auction at Lakai on September 1st. And so those are our big charity events that we do. And then we spend a lot of time throughout the year contacting people in the community to sponsor us. Costco is a sponsor, Intermountain Financial Group, Mass Mutual, Alder Construction, Black Bottom Cyclewear, SOAR Communications.
How do you determine who gets the bikes?
That's really hard. This year we had 2,100 applicants. Yeah, and as you can see, you know, the listeners who can't see this, but as you can see, there's a lot going on, and we probably only have 200 of the kids that have come, and there's really no way for us financially or manpower-wise to give away 2,000 bikes. 1,000 bikes was a pretty big undertaking, and a lot of people on my board were skeptical about it the first year. But it works out, and that's a comfortable number for us. It costs around $65,000 to put this, you know, to give all the kids their bikes and helmets. And we have an application process that organizations, we work with organizations only, not with families. And you can go onto the website, www.bikesforkidsutah, and find an application. And it's a really hard process. We work with organizations that work with well-deserving kids that might not have the financial means to get a bike.
What was the impetus to get this whole thing started? What's the genesis of doing something like this?
So I have a son. He's 13 years old now. And in 2005, he was 9 years old. And we went and spent the summer in Europe. And we toured around. We followed the Tour de France in 2005. And you probably remember that was the year that, Dave Zabriskie wore the yellow jersey, third American ever to wear the yellow jersey in the first 4 days of the Tour de France. And we were in tours when he was, and followed him at the team time trial when he fell and all of that. We were there. But it was so awesome to be there and to see an American and someone that was from our hometown. And we left that, came home, and we went to, my son set a goal with me. Now, he's 9 years old at the time, to go to Texas and ride the Livestrong Cancer Ride, Lance Armstrong's ride. And he was doing 25 miles. And we got to about 23 miles, and he was finished. And it's hill country. We've got this huge hill, and he gets to the bottom of the hill and says, there is no way I'm not getting on my bike. So I'm encouraging him. I said, dude, there's a photographer. Don't let him get a picture of you standing. And I have a picture of me riding my bike, trying to encourage him as he's walking his bike up the hill. And he was finished, done. And as he walks a little farther, he gets to the top of the hill and he can hear the music from the finish line. And he says, Mom, what's that? I said, that's the finish line. That's how close you are. Don't give up. Get back on. So he got back on his bike and he rode in, and as he goes around the bend and he sees, and they have cheerleaders and the communities out there and bands going on, and he got really excited and he crossed the finish line and his whole demeanor changed. He just lit up like a light bulb and he was just glowing and he was so excited, and he had enough energy after crossing that finish line that he rode around for 2 more hours on his bike. And as I watched him, I just thought all kids deserve that. They deserve the opportunity to set a goal that's really hard, that's physically challenging, and to get out there and work really hard and maybe have some discouragements with it because it's so hard, but complete it. And in this day and age, our kids spend so much time indoors with whatever it is, whether it's, as parents, we're nervous to send our kids outdoors alone. We don't socialize with each other as much outside. We play our games and stuff like that all indoors. And so our kids are getting rounder and they lose their independence. I mean, you probably remember, you probably had a banana seat, the big handlebars for your first bike. And you remember that independence you had and you felt. And I felt like we're losing that. And our kids deserve that. And as we lose that independence and the desire to be outside and to socialize with each other, we also start depending on more fossil fuels. We lose sight of ways we can take care of our world and our environment. And I just felt like if we can make a difference in our children's lives and get them back enjoying the outdoors, getting fit, give them an opportunity to create physical fitness and to set goals for themselves and accomplish those goals and have the independence and learn the love for outdoors, then maybe we can shift where we're going as a society.
Now, you're standing here, and behind you they're building bikes, and I'm watching these kids standing here in anticipation. The smiles are getting bigger on their faces. What does that mean to you?
You know what? That is what makes it so that I can do this every year. Every year when it gets to like yesterday and a few days ago, I'm like, why the heck do I do this? I'm exhausted. I'm tired of it. But then at the end of the day, there is so much gratitude in this parking lot, and it completely rejuvenates my spirit. These children, I mean, you can see how excited they are. Their parents often come to me in tears, and to the other volunteers in tears of gratitude. The organization directors, whether it be principal or director of Boys and Girls Club, come up to me in gratitude. You know, everyone wants to give each other hugs. You know, it's spread the love. It's awesome.
Do you ever hear back from the parents or the kids a year or two later and what it has meant to them?
We have a great sponsor. It's called Red Letter Days. And one of the things that she does is she puts in all of the kids' bag a little thank you note. And it's really cute. It talks about, you know, thanking the Boy Scouts who did this, thanking John and Company because they do the porta potties. I mean, it's really cute. But inside there, she gives them a pencil and a thank you card. And we get a lot of those back. And it's awesome. Kids write the cutest, sweetest, from the heart notes or draw us pictures. I mean, it's really sweet. Our meeting after this as a board, the only thing we do is sit around and read the thank you notes.
Are there a lot of tissues on the table just in case?
Yeah, everyone loves them. I mean, that's our favorite meeting. That's our favorite board meeting. And it feels, I mean, there's not one person that's involved in this project that gets paid. All of this is 100% volunteer. I have the most amazing board. They meet all year round to create this event. That's another thing that that I have personally been so blessed by, the people that I've met and the friendships that I've developed. I mean, there are amazing people that live in our community and that just want to get out and do for others.
For people who are interested, who perhaps do want to donate or get involved in some way, give us the website again.
www.bikesforkidsutah.com.
Excellent. Debbie, thank you for what you're doing, and thanks for your time today.
Hey, thanks so much, and thanks so much for spreading the word.
Okay, now I'm with Carson Woodmansey. Carson may look like a little guy, but he's got big ideas. Carson, tell me what you're doing here today.
Today we are assembling bikes for kids, and we are we got them in pieces, and we're just putting them together and checking them, and then we're giving them away.
And how? What's your involvement with all of this?
I'm the one that makes sure that everything's going right, that nothing's getting too full of everything. And it was my idea to do projects instead of one person does the whole thing.
So it's a bit like an assembly line going on here, isn't it?
Yes. One person has one job the entire time. So like one person puts the tires on, one person does the seat, one person does the handlebars. It's really fun.
Now, did I hear you're a Boy Scout?
Yes.
And is this a special project for you?
Yes.
Come on, tell me about it.
Well, I got into this project because Debbie Reed, she goes to our award, so she kind of hooked me up with this. And instead of, like, we have baseball fields for our church, instead of replacing all the dirt, I'd rather just build bikes.
So is this like an Eagle Scout project for you?
Yes, it is an Eagle Scout project.
So how old are you?
12.
And most people are looking to doing their Eagle Scout projects when they're how old?
About 14 or 15.
Yeah, sometimes 17 or 18 even. So good for you for doing it at this age. About how many bikes do you think you've built so far today?
About 50-ish.
Yeah, probably going to end up in somewhere in the range of 400.
So Dad says they're going to build about 400 bikes today. Who are the people who are helping you with this?
The Police Athletic League, also known as PAL, mm-hmm. They brought a bunch of volunteers over. My dad is best friends with a police officer, and he brought all these kids over.
Carson, thanks for doing this for the kids, and have a great day. Good luck with your Eagle Scout.
Thanks.
Well, after I talked to Debbie and Carson, I met Manuel and his daughter Lydia and talked to them about what it means to be getting one of these bikes.
Oh, it's very nice. This is a nice thing they're doing here.
Do you remember, now, when you were a kid, you had a bike, right?
Absolutely.
Do you remember when you got your first bike, what that was like?
I do. It was a lot of fun. I rode it the first day for hours, then got in trouble for being late.
So Lydia's probably going to ride her bike a lot today. The Boy Scouts here are going to help her build it. Tell me, where do you think that she'll end up riding it, you know, after today when she's just so excited?
I think that we like to go to the park, and, you know, she likes to ride in the park. I still get a little concerned for her to take it to school just by herself. I still like, you know, I like to take her to school myself. But since we live kind of close to the school, I'll be walking, and she'll be in her bike, I'm sure, a few times going to school.
That sounds like fun. Now, so Bikes for Kids Utah, they're giving away 1,000 bikes today. Tell me, how did you guys get involved in getting a bike?
Well, you know, we just, she came home with a letter saying that she had been chosen to receive the bike, and we I guess we didn't know about it. We just saw the letter. And
so now, I'm sure she was pretty excited. Did she sleep last night?
A little bit. We went to see a movie, and I think that made her tired, so she did go to sleep.
Perfect.
But she was excited to come here today. She knew about it, so.
Yeah, sure. Lydia's got her new bike, her new red helmet. How excited are you, Lydia?
I'm very excited to have it.
Have you ever had a bike before?
No, I had a tricycle.
But you're too big for a tricycle, aren't you?
Yeah.
So tell me, what do you think you're going to do with your bike?
Maybe ride it today.
Maybe ride it today. I have a feeling you're definitely going to ride it today. After today, what do you think? You're going to ride around your neighborhood, ride to school? What are your plans?
I'm going to ride it at home, and maybe when I turn 8, I can ride it.
That is really great. Well, Lydia, be safe on your bike and always wear your helmet, okay?
Okay.
Well, Manuel, Lydia, have a great day and enjoy the new bike.
Yay. Thank you.
Bye, Lydia. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but I just think Lydia was so cute. I wish you could have seen her face. She was standing there in line waiting for the Boy Scouts to build her bike, and she just looked so excited to get on her new bike. It was a really amazing event. I know that there are other kinds of charities around the country and around the world that do this, but to actually experience it in person was really heartwarming. It really left with a great feeling, And next year, I'm hoping that my family and I will be able to volunteer at this event because it really was something to behold. So thanks so much for Bikes for Kids Utah allowing me the access to Debbie Reed and to Carson and to Manuel and Lydia, and allowing me to come and just sort of eavesdrop and watch the event. What they were doing was really fantastic, and the smiles on the kids' faces as they were leaving was just a sight to behold. Well, believe it or not, I do have one more segment for tonight's show. This was an interview that listener Mike did during Bike to Work Day back in May in Northern California. He ran across an inventor who had a very interesting new product called the Pump Hub. In a nutshell, this is a hub of a bicycle that also includes a very innovative pump, so that should you have a flat and you replace the tube and you need to pump it up, all you do is pedal your bike and it literally will pump up the tire. Here is a little bit of that audio from when Mike met the inventor of Pump Hub.
So I'm here, it's Bike to Work Day in Oakland, and ran across somebody who makes some device called a Pump Hub.
Kevin.
He's about to demonstrate it.
I'm letting all the air out.
He's letting all the air out of his rear tire where the hub is installed. And he's screwing back the device, which actually stays on all the time.
It's a fitting in the airline.
And going from the hub right to the valve stem.
The valve stem.
Yep.
You got a flat tire.
And his tire's pretty flat now.
And it's going to take me 30 to 45 seconds to get enough air in there so that I can get back on the bike.
Okay, let's go. That clicking sound you hear is a pump in operation.
And this is if you have a flat tire. Otherwise, you just turn it on and ride.
Right.
Yeah, it's right here. Right. You may be able to help.
With this pump hub, so it turns itself off.
It has a pressure switch built into it. You set the pressure you want in your tire.
Okay.
Once that pressure is reached, this disconnects, it spins like a regular wheel, no drag.
Wow.
So all I'm doing right now is putting enough air in here to get on the bike.
Yep. Because then when you ride it, you could just fill it up the rest of the way.
It's going to go on sounding like this until the tire's pumped up.
Uh-huh.
When the tire's pumped up, so this should be enough air to get you, let you get on the bike.
That looks pretty good.
When the tire's pumped up,
I just want to be on your radar.
Yep.
As it is on the front wheel,
right?
It sounds like that.
Okay, that's the front wheel sound with this
pump hub
on, and
pump hub is off on the front.
Well, because it's fully inflated.
Right.
All right. So what's your website?
Pump-hub.com.
Right, and your name again?
Kevin.
Kevin what?
Manning.
Kevin Manning. Oh, yeah, well, how much is this going for?
When we're in full production,
right?
We're hoping to sell it for about 200.
200 per hub. Well, great. Good luck.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, thanks, Mike, for bringing us that bit of audio from Bike to Work Day. And I got to tell you, I looked at the video on pump-hub.com. It's a really unique and interesting idea. I'm hoping that I'll be able to catch up with the inventor, perhaps at Interbike this year, and learn a little bit more about the product. In the meantime, there are links in the show notes and in the Enhance podcast. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. But before we go, I do want to thank our sponsor, Graham Street and Cyclo Club. Don't forget, if you want to get 1 to 2 miles per hour faster in 7 days, and who doesn't, by the way, go to www.thefredcast.com and get yourself Graham's new training module. Again, just skip 2 lattes this week and you're going to get 1 to 2 miles per hour faster. Thanks to Cyclo Club and Graham Street for their support of the Fredcast, and thank you for your support of Graham Street and Cyclo Club. Of course, we also want to thank our sponsor, Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling to sign up for your 14-day free trial of the Audible Listener Gold program and download your free audiobook today, audiblepodcast.com/cycling. And finally, don't forget to sign up for our Chasseur de Col trip to the French Alps in September. Again, www.thefredcast.com, and click the travel link at the top of the page. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. Don't forget, you can follow along with everything that's going on in the life of the Fredcast anytime by following our Twitter feed. My Twitter name is Fredcast. Just go to twitter.com/Fredcast. You can send an email at any time, thefredcast@gmail.com. That's thefredcast@gmail.com. Of course, our website is www.thefredcast.com or our listener hotline at area code 435-2586-FRED. That's 435-258-6373. Or just send a voicemail to our Skype address. The Skype address is thefredcast. And that leaves us with just one more thing to do on tonight's show, and that's to bring you our PodSafe cycling music. Tonight's PodSafe cycling music comes to us from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. It's a name you've heard before, a name that's been on the Fredcast before. This is George Thorogood and the Destroyers. Their song is Hard Stuff. And you will find links in the show notes to where you can find the song on the Pod Show site, on George Thorogood's site, where you can find the song, the album, and the artist on iTunes. Those show notes are at www.thefredcast.com. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Fredcast. Until then, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride. She's still